that. We'll just get it started here. Let me just... Okay, good. Kevin, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. I just put it on
the... I'm actually trying to pull up a document here, but...
Oh, okay. You good to go? You want a little time?
Can you give me like a minute here?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I'll give you a minute. And again, guys, if you are in the right place tonight for this triathlonsummit.com call with Kevin Koskela, who is a swim coach, and he will be sharing us all. He will be sharing all kinds of great information with us tonight on how to swim better in a triathlon.
All right, I'm ready to go anytime.
Okay, you're ready to roll? Okay, let's do it. Tonight, like I said, we have a call tonight with Kevin Koskela, who is a former All-American swimmer, and today he is a swim coach and has been featured in Triathlon, Inside Triathlon, and Men's Health magazines. Kevin has many products, and he caters towards triathletes in the swimming background. So with that, I will open the call up to Kevin Koskela. Kevin, how you doing?
Good, Kerry. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, thanks for coming on. So with that, we'll start with the first question. We'll get right into it here, and that is, how does swimming in a triathlon differ from swimming in a pool?
Well, I'm assuming you mean a triathlon in terms of an open water race and the difference between that and pool swimming or pool racing?
Yeah, and like race conditions, yep.
Yeah, well, yeah. Since most triathlon swims are done in open water, there's quite a few differences and quite a few challenges that you'll find in open water racing. The first thing is you don't have walls to rest on in open water, which is really a big difference. Even if you're doing flip turns in the pool, you get a little rest for every lap that you swim. Most of us in the U.S. swim in 25-yard or 25-meter pools. So we're getting a lot of little rests all the way through our workouts. And even though they're brief, it makes up a big difference when you get in the open water. When you get in the open water, you're going to have, your endurance factor is going to kick in, and also muscle fatigue. So swimming a straight mile in the open water, you're going to get some sore muscles. You're going to get tired out a lot faster than in the pool. And so that's really the main difference. The other differences would be water temperature. Obviously, pools are normally heated to 79, 80 degrees. When you get out in the ocean or most of the lakes, you're going to find that they're a lot cooler. So that's going to affect your swim quite a bit. And so those are the two probably main differences. We could go on and talk about different race strategies and things like that, but I think that's kind of what you were looking for.
Yeah, that's good. That works for sure. And so what are the ways, then, that a triathlete can become stronger in the swim leg, given those different elements?
Yeah, this is where actually balance comes in a lot. Now, most people think they want to train harder to go faster, but in terms of swimming, you're going to want to train your balance first. So what I mean by that is we're not natural to water as humans, so we need to practice quite a bit in the water. And the best thing that you can do for yourself to build your balance, and so you're eventually using less energy in the water to do the same thing, to get through your swim, is to practice drills. And I have two core, I call them core drills, that I give that you can do for to increase your balance in the water. And two drills that I usually start with, and it's also in my newsletter. I have a twice-monthly newsletter. And you can, when you sign up, you get four free kind of workouts and practices. And the first two drills are kicking on your side, and then shark fin. So the kicking on your side is just basically extending your arm out and rotating yourself to the side. So using your hips, you rotate to the side, look straight down at the bottom of the pool, and just kick. And this is best done if you're a beginner. This is best done with some fins on. I recommend using zoomers, which are the shorter kind of fins, but any of the shorter kind of fins will work. Kind of gets you to forget about your kick and just work on the body position. So kicking on your side would be one. And then the second one is the shark fin drill, which is basically you start out kicking on your side, and then your trailing arm, you lift the elbow up and bring your hand forward to make like a shark fin. So you're going to touch the side of your head and kind of make a shark fin, and then slide your hand back down and then rotate back onto your back, get some air, and repeat. It's kind of it's easier if you see it than if I just explain it. It's kind of hard to just follow along, but that gives you an idea.
Yeah, no, that made sense to me for sure. All right. And so what is the quickest way that people can get faster? Because a lot of people, you know, they're pretty busy, so they're looking to get the most bang for their buck in a lot of workouts. So what are some different ways that athletes can do that?
Right. Well, unfortunately for swimming, there is not really a get fast quickly method. I wish there was, but we don't really have that at this point. So the best thing to do is to what I call is taking a step back to go two steps forward. So in a sport, like another sport, I like to compare it to bowling, actually. So if you bowl, most people that when they go out bowling, they just throw the ball straight down the lane. And you can get pretty good at doing that, and you can actually increase your score, but there's going to be a limit. So you know what you'd have to do is develop a curve in your bowling game. When you start developing a curve, you're going to throw a lot of gutter balls, and your score is going to go down. But then eventually, once you get the hang of it, your score will go way up. So how that translates to swimming is with the triathletes, a lot of people try to go fast, you know, swim harder to go faster. Talk about that. But that doesn't really work. If you've got flaws in your stroke, you're just going to emphasize the flaws, and you're going to kind of limit yourself as far as how fast you can go. So that's going to be your quickest way to get faster, is to work on your stroke technique. But again, it's not a quick way. It's a slow. It's something that takes a long time.
Yeah. I'm afraid that's the case with the other two sports and triathlon too for most people. So, yeah.
Yeah. For the most part, there's just not as much technique with running and biking. But yeah, it is time consuming. Although if you're doing the proper drills, you'll make it a lot easier on yourself than if you're just getting in there trying to crank out workouts.
Yeah. So let's talk about some drills. In terms of drills, how much should people, or like how often should people do drills, and how much should they do when they do drills and all that?
Yeah, that's a good question because it comes up quite a bit, and everybody's always wondering, how much they should do. And really it depends on what level the swimmer is. For true beginners, when they're getting in and just, trying to learn the basics, I recommend 100% of your workout to be drills. So even for several weeks, just doing the drills for your whole workout before you start doing any full stroke swimming. And if you can kind of follow along with the progression that I offer, it works out so that you're leading yourself into a nice fluid stroke. So I would say start out with 100% if you're a beginner. If you've got some technique down, you can start bringing it down. So once you start mastering your technique, then you can bring down the amount of drills you do. I still swim masters a few days a week, and we do probably 15% of our workout as drills still. So, and I suggest that you never cut out drills completely, but, I would definitely recommend doing a lot of drills at first. And then, once you get the stroke technique down, then you can start building up your yardage, building up your, intervals, and, kind of doing more of a workout. But don't hesitate on overdoing the drills.
Okay, awesome. And one of the things you see a lot with triathletes is they love to use the paddles. And some people say paddles are no good, and some people swear by them. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, the triathletes love the paddles. They love the buoys, and they love the kickboards. But I say for the most part, you can do without all three. We'll talk about the paddles. So there's some paddles that are good. I haven't fully researched all the paddles that are out there. The one that I have used and I've had some of my swimmers use that I do like is called the Freestyler, made by Finisse. And it actually, there's two reasons I like it. One is it can actually help your stroke, kind of allows you to glide more through the water, and it gets you the feel of efficient freestyle. So it's actually doing something good for you. And it's also, it doesn't put as much pressure on your shoulders as some of the other paddles out there. I had a big shoulder problem when I was in college, and a lot of it was due to just massive amount of pulling with paddles. And so I'm kind of weary of all paddles, but the Freestyler works well if you really want to have the equipment. But I also say in terms of all the equipment, it's for swimming, I wouldn't worry too much about it. I'd say go with as little equipment as possible, But I more, you know, if you're going to have one thing, one piece of equipment for swimming, I'd say fins. Go with the Zoomers fins rather than the paddles. But, you know, if you have to have paddles, again, the Finis is pretty, they're pretty good.
All right, good deal. And in terms of, you know, you're a swimming expert, and I'm sure you see a lot of common mistakes. So why don't you just go over the three top mistakes that you see triathletes make in swimming?
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, the biggest mistake that I see triathletes make is, I think we touched on this a little bit earlier, but to go into it further, is kind of the no pain, no gain philosophy. I swim masters. I swim in a few different masters groups, and the triathletes, they don't want to spend a lot of time, you know, swimming in the slow lane. They want to move up fast and get into the fast lane. So that, you know, it's kind of like a mentality of running or biking, where you can just go longer and go harder and you actually make some gains. But with swimming, you need to take a step back. So that's probably the first thing that I see. And then as far as actual stroke, the biggest mistake or stroke flaw is having the runner's kick. And what that is you have inflexible ankles because you run a lot, and it prevents you from getting any propulsion out of your kick. Actually, for a lot of triathletes I've seen, if I put them on their back in the water, they'll go backwards the opposite way while kicking. So their feet are acting like anchors when they swim. So what the solution to that is to first do a lot of ankle stretching, because the inflexible ankles are going to really kill your swim if you keep them in that state. But if you can stretch them out, get a little more flexibility out of them, that helps. The second thing is doing some vertical kicks. So just kicking in place, you know, kind of cross your arms so you're not keeping yourself up with your hands, but kick in place, keep your head above the water. It's actually a pretty difficult drill. But if you can do that every time you get in the water for a little bit, you'll see some improvement. You'll be using the right muscles to kick instead of trying to kick at the water. You're actually kicking with your upper quads, your hips. And then the third thing would be using the Zoomers. So the Zoomers actually help you to kind of kick the right way. They put your feet in the right position. So the more you can use them, the better. But I don't recommend using Zoomers on actual swimming, just more on the drills and the kicking. So those are the two biggest ones. In terms of a third one, I would just say, not swimming enough, probably skipping the workouts. So, you know, I recommend doing two or three workouts during two or three pool workouts and one open water.
Yeah. Okay. A week, you're saying?
What was that?
A week, you're saying?
Yeah, a week.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
Good deal. That was actually the next question I was going to ask you, just how much should a triathlete swim? And, why don't we break that down in terms of just ability levels? Someone who's a really strong swimmer versus someone who's just beginning, does that differ at all in terms of frequency that you like to see people swim?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you want to work your weakness in triathlon, so if your weakness is swimming, then I would emphasize that and spend more of your time doing the swimming than anything else. So generally, 3 to 4 days a week is going to be sufficient, and out of that, you're going to do one open water swim. So, you know, to get used to that. But if you're just starting out and you're doing, like I said, the 100% drills, then 4 days a week of drills is going to really help you out for, you know, a few weeks. And then you can kind of back that off and do do your open water swim and everything like that. But yeah, but it's more of a general thing, and you can kind of gauge as to how advanced you are in triathlon. If you're a good swimmer, you know, a couple days a week, I think you can get away with that. But most people, it's going to be 3 or 4.
Okay, good deal. And so in terms of kicking, you hear different people say different things. You know, some people say kick as hard as you can the whole time. Some say don't kick at all. And a lot of triathletes just don't like to work on their kick period in the pool anyway. So what's your take on kicking?
Yeah, should a triathlete kick? Yes, definitely. I actually just wrote an article on this, and I've got a few articles out there on kicking because it's such a popular topic, and nobody really seems to have the answer. But, yeah, you definitely need a kick, and you definitely need to kick on your swim. With a wetsuit, you can kind of get away with a lot because it keeps you up on top of the water, so you don't have to kick as much. But You know, with triathlon swimming, you don't need a powerful kick. If you watch the Olympics, you'll see these guys like Phelps and all the sprinters have a super kick, and it's just not necessary for the distance stuff, especially for triathletes. So, you know, kicking is there for balance and hip rotation for the most part. You get a little propulsion out of it, but you're really not going to help yourself much. If you had a Michael Phelps kick in your mile swim, it's really not a huge advantage. Unless you had his stroke, then you might be pretty far ahead of the game. But you know, the kicking, yeah, it's mostly for hip balance and hip rotation. So it's not the biggest thing. If you don't have a kick, it's going to kill you, but you don't need to have a huge, powerful kick.
All right, good deal. Let's talk about breathing on both sides. Is it useful, and should someone develop it?
Oh, yeah, it's very useful, especially with the open water swimming, but in general it is. Bilateral breathing, or breathing every three or five strokes, well, mostly it's going to be breathing every three strokes, it's going to balance your stroke. And one of the problems that happens out there with a lot of people, not just triathletes, but is that when you breathe to only one side, a couple things happen. One is you're putting a lot of pressure on the shoulder, on the side that you breathe on, so you could develop shoulder problems. And then the second thing is you kind of become imbalanced. So this helps with your balance. And then also the navigation in the open water. So if you're breathing to only one side and you're in the ocean, it's going to put you at a disadvantage. You want to be able to, you know, if there's waves, you want to be able to breathe on your opposite side. So that'll help with navigation. The way to practice the balance drills, the way to improve this is to practice balance drills on your weaker side. So, you know, if you're doing the side kicking or the shark fin drill we talked about earlier, just practice a little bit more on the side that you normally don't breathe on. And then eventually that'll become easier for you to take a breath to that side. Because I know from experience, I breathe mostly to my right side. It's much more comfortable for me. But I've been able to become more comfortable with breathing on my left side, and it's helped quite a bit. But I really understand the reluctance to breathe, you know, if you have a weaker side, which most people do, breathe on that side because it feels like you can't get a good breath. So, but one more thing to add on this is, don't worry about learning bilateral breathing at first. It's not essential right away. You don't have to, you know, if you're just learning the stroke and you're doing the drills, just get air however you can, because that's much more important than trying to do bilateral breathing. I would focus on that a little down the road, and start with just doing breathing every three strokes on your warm-ups and your warm-downs and some of your longer swims, and then go from there. But don't stress too much about it.
All right, good deal. And Kevin, where can people get your stuff? You're talking about your newsletter a little bit before. Where's a good place that people can go and look at some, because you got some products as well too, right?
Yeah. So I've got two websites actually. My sales website is tryswimcoach.com, and you can get the essential triathlon DVD, triathlon swimming DVD, and then the complete guide to triathlon swimming. And then I have a blog site, which is tryswimcoachonline.com. And that's got has all my blogs, has all my articles, and I also just started a podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast there, and also check out some background information and products and everything.
Awesome, good deal. Let's talk a little bit about just tactics in terms of a race when you're out there racing. What are some things that you tell people to do so they can get through the mosh pit, as some people like to call it, or the washing machine, and have a good swim in a race situation?
Yeah, just swim your own race. Don't get caught up in all the madness. So, I mean, I always start to the outside. I tell everybody to do that, and it's amazing because I still go to races, and everybody's still trying to compete for that pole position, even though it's so much easier to start outside. You swim a little bit extra, but you'll have your own water. You'll have clarity. You won't have to get hit in the face and get punched and kicked and all that. So yeah, just try to swim your own race and, you know, stay as relaxed as possible. Yeah, don't get caught up in it, because the people that are going for it like that are, you know, they're just killing themselves for no reason. So, you know, to gain an extra 30 seconds on the swim, sometimes that'll come back to kill you later. in your race. So it really isn't much of an advantage.
Yeah, yeah, sure. All right, good deal. And do you suggest that people go out and do sighting drills or anything like that? Do you have any drills to keep people on track on a course that way?
Yeah, sighting is really important, and you know, the more you can practice that in the pool, the better, because it's, you know, it's really easy to do in the pool, and then once you get out in the ocean, if you haven't practiced, it's really difficult. But if you kind of know what you're doing, you just want to pop your goggles up right before you breathe, you check out to see where you are. You can really do it quite often and not really hurt your stroke too much. But you know, ideally, you want to kind of learn the course beforehand, so you're not sighting, you know, every other stroke. So that's definitely important. You know, the other thing is when you're kind of finishing your race, it's not a bad idea to kick a little bit more towards the end, because you want to be able to have your legs warmed up for the bike. I know that when we talked about kicking, I said that a lot of triathletes don't like to kick, and then they wear a wetsuit, and it feels like you don't really even have to kick because your wetsuit's doing all the work for you. But to get the legs warmed up to get on your bike is a good idea.
Good deal, good deal. Do you have any other comments that you just want to add on to anything you said there?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered quite a bit.
We've actually got some people on the webcast asking a few questions. You want to go and take a crack at those?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, cool. We got Steve, and Steve is saying, I'm new to swimming, so this is my weakest event. I know my hips and legs sink. What is the best way to work on this one thing to improve my swimming?
Yeah, that goes back to the first question, actually. It's, you know, how do you improve as a triathlon swimmer? Really, it goes back to the balance drills. Your hips are sinking because you're not balanced in the water. So you'll have to practice first just kicking, then kicking on your side, then move into the shark fin drill. And those will get you, you know, within a few weeks of practicing that, you'll feel a huge difference. And again, don't worry about your kick. Just, you know, grab a pair of fins, grab a pair of zoomers, and do those drills as much as you can. And that'll help with your balance. So, and then your hips will slowly, you'll get to the point where you're more on top of the water. And it does, you know, it's not overnight, but it definitely helps. And the more you can get in the water, the better.
Yeah, yeah. So is that because, do people sink with their hips and their legs because they're not kicking, or is it because they have a weak core, or what's your take on that?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with kicking. And what happens is when you're not balanced in the water, you will kick a lot more, and you'll use a ton of energy to get through the water. So that's one of the main problems that I see out there, is that people are just using all their energy through the swim and they're really not going fast, so it doesn't help them. But yeah, no, it's really just a balance issue. It's not a muscle thing or a core thing. It's a balance issue. So once you work on that balance practice and get up there and start improving your balance, you'll get you'll be more on the top of the water as opposed to sinking.
Okay. And definitely no buoy to help that out, right?
Yeah, great point. Yeah, everybody wants to use buoys because if you put a pull buoy on, you'll actually go faster in the water because it's a lot easier to swim. It just puts you on top of the water, so it's cheating. And it's a bad form of cheating because it's actually, you're cheating yourself. You're getting that buoyancy without having to practice at it. And once you take the buoy off, you're going to feel a lot worse.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely agree with that. I've seen a lot of people use that as their crutch, and they take the buoy off, forget it. They got nothing.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
All right. We got Brian Zobel, and he says, in open water swimming, do you suggest breathing every stroke or every several strokes, putting aside the need to breathe on both sides, or swimming in a straight line?
Are you putting aside the need to breathe?
On both, I'm not really sure what he means by that, but basically he's saying more than anything, he's just asking how many strokes you should per how many strokes should you breathe, more or less.
Yeah, I mean, ideally you want to breathe every three strokes, but again, how much air can you get? I mean, we talked about bilateral breathing, and part of that is with the breathing every three, part of it is you'll go more in a straight line than if you're breathing, you know, every two or every four. But if you can get air, get it. Don't worry about the bilateral breathing. So I wouldn't say that it's set in stone that you have to breathe every three strokes, but it is a good idea to work towards that, where you can comfortably breathe on both sides.
All right, good deal. And actually, that brings up another question I just thought of there for you. In terms of stroke count, do you have any specific way of calculating that for people, how many strokes they should be taking per 25 meters or yards or anything like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And there isn't really an answer, a set in stone answer. Everybody's going to be different. And it depends on where you're starting from, where your starting point is. So, you know, beginners, it could be a totally different number than somebody that's been swimming for years. And you kind of want to just determine where you're at right now. So just, you know, start counting your strokes and keep an idea of where you are and, kind of come up with a range that you're in and then bring down that range slowly. So just kind of notice what you're doing and notice if you can rotate a little more or extend your arm a little more on each stroke. To bring down your stroke count. So it's always a good idea to count your strokes and work towards bringing that stroke count down, no matter what level you are.
Okay. And we got another question here, and they're asking, how long before a workout should you eat? Should you have something if you swim in the morning? I guess that would mean like early in the morning, early mass practices, right?
Yeah, that's. I think they're probably referencing that old adage that never eat less than an hour before you swim or something like that. You'll explode in the water or whatever. I don't know what it is.
Puke or whatever.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, but that's really an individual thing. I mean, I know people that can get up and just head to the pool or head to a workout without eating a thing, and they're fine, and they can have a great workout. And I know other people that need to eat quite a bit, and I'm sort of, I for me it's just, if I can get something half an hour in before my workout that's, or you know, half an hour to an hour in that's going to energize me, that's great. I can't work out on an empty stomach, but it's so individual. And I study a lot of nutrition, but I'm also not a expert at the nutrition, so that's kind of a general thing. I'd say the most important thing if you're doing a morning workout, just make sure you're hydrated, because you're spending like 8 hours in bed where you're not getting any liquids, and you wake up and you're pretty much, everyone's going to be dehydrated. So that's really important.
All right, good deal. Chris asks, what are some swim tips for the indoor races? So in a pool. What's your take on that?
Some swim tips for indoor pool races?
Yeah.
Is he talking about triathlons or...
No, I think he's just talking about, maybe he's talking about, he didn't really specify, but just pool swimming, racing, I guess.
Yeah, well, it mostly, all of the stuff we talk about applies, but you're going to be doing flip turns. So if you're doing, you know, indoor races and you're doing open turns, you have to learn how to do a flip turn. And that's the most essential thing. And, you know, most triathletes that I've seen they do the open turn, but that takes a lot longer. So that's the number one thing. If you go to beginnertriathlete.com, there's an awesome video on how to do a flip turn. You can learn everything just from watching that video and a little bit of practice.
Awesome. Good stuff. We got Ted up in San Francisco, and he asks, do you have any recommendations for hip rotation to get hips up? I understand yoga hip rotation is recommended, but it is difficult. That's his first question. Why don't you take a crack at that first?
What was the part about yoga? I wasn't clear on that.
He says he understands that yoga hip rotation is recommended to help with hip rotation, but that is difficult. He says so.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not really sure what he means by that. I mean, I think maybe, you know, for flexibility, yoga's great. But in terms of, you know, learning how to rotate your hips, it's really, again, it's just starting with the basic drills. So when you kick on your side, you're going to get used to that body position, and you're getting used to being on your side, because the fastest you're going in your freestyle, when you're swimming freestyle, the fastest part is when you're on your side. So that's how you need to swim. So from side to side, if you're swimming flat on your stomach, you're just creating a lot of drag, and you're making it a lot harder on yourself. So it's really just a process. You start out with doing some kicking on your side, then you start doing the shark fin drill, which is like taking a half stroke, and then you kind of slowly build into freestyle where you're rotating from side to side. You know, to learn to do it, you just start from the beginning. I learn really well visually, so for me it's a lot of watching videos, like my Central Triathlon Swimming DVD. And I had talked to somebody that said, oh, I watch that every night, and I, you know, kind of learned it from that. So it depends on how you learn, but I, for me, it's just, you know, visual and then kind of practicing that. And I'm also coming out with some waterproof swim drill cards so you can take them to the pool. That's going to be, you know, within the next couple weeks. So that'll help, yeah, help with the visualization as well.
Oh, that's huge, man. Good thoughts on that, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Ted's second question, he says, do you have any preferences for what to look for in a fast wetsuit for an intermediate swimmer? More 5mm rubber thickness flotation rather than rubber material or surface treatment comfort? Or surface treatment comfort. There we go. Okay. Did you get that?
Yeah, there are so many wetsuit companies out there that my opinion is they're all pretty good. There's probably going to be little differences here and there, but it's so competitive that they have to be, you know, beating each other out as far as the quality. So I'm not a wetsuit expert. I actually try to swim open water when the water warms up to the point where I don't have to use a wetsuit. So I'm not an expert there, but maybe, Carrie, I don't know, maybe you know something about wetsuits.
I mean, basically the same thing. More than anything, I just tell you, Ted, to look for something that fits well. That's the main thing, because different brands
right.
will fit you in different ways. But yeah, they're all pretty good. And you know, maybe you try one suit on, it just doesn't feel right in the shoulder rotation or whatever for you. So, just the main thing is just try them out. See what
exactly.
works, you know?
Yeah. And just to add to that, it's really important that you swim in your wetsuit before you race. I mean, that's like, one of the keys. I mean, if you just put on a wetsuit right before your race, you might discover some things that are a bit of a shock and surprise, and you don't want that.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. All right, we got Cynthia in Honolulu, and she says, should you consciously rotate your hips, or is rotation just a result of your stroking?
Oh, that's a really good question. Yeah.
You,
when you're learning it, you should rotate your hips. Everything is... With freestyle, it's coming from your core, so think about your hips. You know, really, when you're starting out and you're learning, really think about your hips. That's what you should be concentrating on. Everything comes from your hips, your kick, you know. So yeah, you want to focus on hips first, and then eventually it'll just become normal. I mean, you won't even think about it. It just happens. But at first, yeah, just focus on that. And to add to that, breathing, you know, one of the big struggles with triathletes is breathing. You know, that's one of the questions that comes up the most. And most people try to breathe with their head, so that you rotate and then lift your head up to breathe. But the problem is then it throws off your balance, and then your hand is sinking, and then, you know, it really makes it hard to swim. So what you want to do is think about rotating your hips to breathe. So, you know, think about, like, taking a breath with your core or your belly button instead of the traditional lifting your head to breathe, and your head kind of follows along with your hips, kind of swivels with your hips. So, yeah.
Good deal. And in terms of breathing, should people breathe, you know, you got open water swimmers and pool swimmers will tend to breathe a little bit differently. Do you agree with that, or?
How many breaths?
Or just in terms of where they breathe, like if you breathing out to the side in terms of looking back a little bit more if you're an open water swimmer versus some, if you look at swimming in a pool, they'll rotate their head kind of more up towards like a, it's hard to explain what I'm saying, but.
I think it's pretty much the same. You want to rotate, you know, like I just said, you want to rotate to breathe rotate your head to breathe instead of lifting your head. The difference is going to be, you're going to be doing some sighting. So, when you lift your head, when you pop your head up and you're looking straight forward, you're going to be out of balance for a second there. So take some getting used to, you know, pop your goggles up in front and then rotate to breathe and then put your head back down. So that's a little bit different. But other than that, it's the same.
All right, good deal. Let's see. Wendy basically just wants to know the name of the website for the flip turn instruction again.
Oh, it's beginnertriathlete.com. It's all together, beginnertriathlete.com. It's a great site. There's some resources on there and videos. I've got some articles on there, too.
All right, good deal. And that's all the questions we got from all of them. Again, do you want to add anything else onto that, anything that you've said this evening?
No, I think we've, you know, like I said, I think we've covered quite a bit. Let's see if I'm, you asked me a question about how I differ from total immersion. You want to?
Oh, yes, there? Yes, yes. How do you differ from total immersion? Because we had Terry Laughlin on earlier, and, you know, he's got his own views on things. So, yeah, how do you differ?
Yeah, that's a good question. I get that once in a while. I actually really like total immersion's methodology, and I took one of their clinics years back, and I've actually read his books. I don't think I've read all his books, but the freestyle, the ones having to do with freestyle, and it's great stuff. The methodology is based on some of the principles that the coaches from the 70s, the great coaches, Bill Boomer and Doc Councilman, they came up with a lot of this stuff in the 70s, and the hip rotation was one of the things that that came out of that, and that was the side-to-side rotation, and that Mark Spitz was actually kind of famous for when he first kind of hit the swimming scene, and people were wondering what that was. But that was where all that came from, and I actually used the kind of the same concepts in my teaching, but as far as my differences go, I just try to boil it down a little bit more on the technical end. I use, like I said, a lot of the same concepts, but it's more of a you know, a layman's terms in explaining it, and so in terms of my book and DVD and my newsletter, I focus more on the workouts and the training plans for each of the distances, so each distance race. So people will kind of learn the technique, and then they'll go, well, what do I do now? I've got a race coming up in 3 months, and I don't have any idea how to train for it. So that's kind of where I come in, and I've got training plans for each of the races and kind of how workouts should be. And in my newsletters, I send out a lot of workouts. And actually, for beginner triathlete right now, I'm writing a series of workouts geared towards kind of the intermediate level swimmers. We also have a series for beginners, but right now we're on the intermediate level. And it's exactly what you need to be doing within your workouts. And we started out with doing some like 1,500 yard workouts, and now we're actually up to 3,750 yard workouts. So that's kind of my focus, is the 12-week plans, you know, for training. And there's so much confusion out there on what exactly people should be doing for triathlon swim training. So
yeah, excellent. And actually, you want to talk about that a little bit, because you know, some people will just go and swim with masters versus you know, doing any real specific, you know, training for their actual event. So they'll be training with a lot of sprinters and things like that. What are the main differences between those two types of training?
Yeah, that's a good question too. The master swimming is very general, and it's geared towards the fitness swimmer. So 80% of masters or more are typically just swimming for fitness. So it's really going to be, you know, kind of a general workout. And most master's coaches actually don't do any stroke technique work, mainly because there isn't really, it's really a tough environment to do that in. You have 20 swimmers or so in the pool. It's kind of hard to run around and give everybody stroke technique. So if you're a beginner level swimmer, triathlete, you probably don't want to start out going to master's. Eventually, I think it's a great thing. But I would start out either with some individual coach sessions, or just on your own with some of the materials out there, and work on the drills. You know, with the masters, you don't get a lot of drills. You get a lot of yardage and intervals, and it can be kind of competitive. People want to compete with each other at masters workouts, and that's not always the best thing, especially for people that are doing, you know, the three sports. They're doing the bike and the run, and then the swim is just another sport. You know, you don't want to be spending your workouts trying to compete with people. You want to be working on your technique for the most part. But, you know, on the other hand, I love master swimming. I think it's great. And I think if you've moved up to that kind of that intermediate level swimming, you definitely should work in some master swimming, you know, at least once a week. Get in with the masters. It's a really good workout. And it goes by a lot faster when you're with other people than when you're just sitting there by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And Kevin, what's the name of the site that people can get some of your stuff at? Or the site, I should say.
Yeah, my websites are TriSwimCoach, TriSwimCoach.com, and then TriSwimCoachOnline.com.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And, yeah, I was looking over the list of people that you're interviewing. It looks like a really good product, really good series.
Yeah, no, definitely. We've got a good bunch of good people on there, and I'm adding some more on there. So stay tuned for that for sure.
Sounds good.
Yeah, definitely. So thanks again.